You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And we have a great guest in studio today with an important story to share, but I think also a story that often goes untold. And that's why we get to share here on The Coffee Hour. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting The Coffee Hour. Check them out at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin, live uncommon. In studio with us today, Martin Schreiber. He's author of My Two Elaines. Martin, glad to have you in studio today.
Andy and Sarah, I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Look forward to hearing your story, learning more about your book, but also your story, which makes up your book. Share with us a little bit about you and your wife, and I understand your experience with Alzheimer's.
The book I wrote, My Two Elaines, and the first Elaine is the young girl I met when I was 14 years of age at Milwaukee Lutheran High School in Latin class, and I knew right away that she was the woman or the person that I wanted to marry. And so we dated, we went steady, and we got engaged, and we got married, and 4 children, and 13 grandchildren, and now 6 great-grandchildren. My friend, my companion, my advisor. When I would run for political office, she would be the hardest worker. If I would lose, she would never let me feel defeated. So the second Elaine began to appear, maybe some 14 to 15 years ago. The same person, but this new Elaine is now beginning to forget recipes that she had been working and doing an outstanding job in cooking for all the years that we have been married. She would be getting lost between places that she had been going to back and forth for maybe 15 years. If she would back the car out of the garage, sometimes it would be scraped on the side, very unlike her. And so that was the beginning of the understanding and diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And so this journey now is in its 14th year, and she has now been at the Lutheran home in Milwaukee, assisted living memory care, now for 3 years. And what I concluded is that if Alzheimer's is bad, ignorance of the disease is worse. And when I say ignorance of the disease, I don't mean how the brain works. I mean a lack of understanding of this disease by the medical profession and even people involved in church ministry and caregivers, not understanding that this disease takes away the memory of a person. And if you for a moment can envision a funnel and hold the small part of your funnel by your eye and look up. And of course, as the funnel expands, you can see the blueness of the sky and the hope of tomorrow. Now, turn that funnel over, and now the large part is by your eye, and you look out and you only see a small hole in front of you. That now becomes the life of the person who is ill. And they do not know or are aware of what may have happened 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, or maybe even 50 years ago, and they do not understand or know what's going to happen or care what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 years from now. And so their world now is completely different. And what is so important for caregivers and for people to understand is that we have to join their world. For example, Elaine asked me once how her parents were. Well, I said, Elaine, I said, your parents are both dead. Well, the shock on her face, you could see that she was concerned. She had not maybe said goodbye to them properly. Maybe she didn't even go to the funeral. And so now I I understand when she asked me, I said, Elaine, your parents are both fine. I said, your mom likes working at church and your dad is doing good. And so, for example, that's therapeutic fibbing. Therapeutic fibbing to help join the person who is now ill. And also to understand you can't argue with this disease. If Elaine has 5 coats on and she says that she is cold, there is no way that ever understand that 5 coats is sufficient or we should even take some off. It's simple enough to join their world. And so what also happens then through this entire experience, They tell me that a caregiver has a 35% chance of dying before their loved one. Mm-hmm. A caregiver for an Alzheimer's patient has a better chance of becoming ill and having their savings impacted and their jobs affected. And so we need to have a better understanding. Alzheimer's is not a chicken casserole disease. If I break my hip or if I have heart surgery and I'm laid up at home, people will bring me chicken casserole. If my wife has Alzheimer's or if Alzheimer's enters the picture, because people don't understand this disease, they shy away. And that begins to develop some greater isolation by the on behalf of the caregiver. And then the caregiver begins to get well, because the disease is regressive, no matter how much care and love and attention you give the person who is ill, things never get better. And that wears so heavily on the person who is the caregiver. So a caregiver has to have help. A caregiver has to learn how to cope and survive.
So you've mentioned this a little bit. You've touched on this a little bit that as a couple, when you're married and your spouse, and most likely the wife, has this disease, it's a journey that both partners have to take together, and that can be it's a very different experience for both, and that can be very challenging. Why is this care of the caregiver so important and so integral to the health of both of the individuals?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if the caregiver doesn't take care of himself or herself, the caregiver's going to die early. Mm-hmm. But not only that, a caregiver goes through grieving and also depression and also anxiety and also worry. I mean, you picture this relationship in which there's love and affection, and all of a sudden, one night my wife asked me, she said, you know, do you think my parents would mind if you and I go to bed together? And then a little bit later, you know, she would ask me, she says, will you love me? And I said, yeah. I says, I'll love you. Well, she says, how long will you love me? And I said, well, I wanted to make her at ease. So I said, Elaine, I will love you forever and ever and a billion years. And then she looks sad. I says, why are you sad? She says, I don't think I could take you that long. And so it's so important for the caregiver to understand, you know, when you get into an airplane, what is the first thing? Put on your oxygen mask first. And so a caregiver, if a caregiver does not take care of themselves, they could very well die before their loved one. And how cruel is it that the person who is ill has maybe this singular person who gives them peace and comfort, and this singular person, the caregiver, doesn't take care of themselves, and now they become ill. And so, as I said, if Alzheimer's is bad, ignorance of the disease is worse. But then I go one step further and say, rather than worrying about the storm to pass, to try and learn how to dance in the rain. And so, for example, I talked about therapeutic vivid, you know, to try and make the life easier. If Elaine and I are going for a walk or doing something, I have to decide I'm going to steal moments of joy from this disease. So if she wants to look at a butterfly, I got to take time to look at the butterfly with her or look at the flower with her. And so, As this disease progresses, it's so difficult for the caregiver to let go of the person who once was, to understand that there no longer can be that kind of a communication, that kind of experience with a loved one, because they're different, their brain is broken, and now we've got to join their world.
You mentioned that grieving occurs throughout this process. You know, when a loved one dies, a lot of that grieving usually happens right around the time of their death. But you mentioned some grieving happening throughout this disease. What's important? What support do you need as you serve as a caregiver and as you experience grief through this disease?
Well, I think one of the most important things you can do for a caregiver is to acknowledge what they are doing. Caregivers many times feel guilt. And the reason they feel guilt is no matter how hard they work or no matter what they do, their loved one still becomes worse. And so to make sure that we acknowledge what a caregiver does. But then by the same token, to look for ways, and again, sort of repeating myself, but to look for ways of stealing moments of joy so that you can travel this journey with your loved one rather than tugging apart at one another, trying to continue as a caregiver to reach back to the person who once was. And so we can, by the holding of hands, we can, by what I call listening with the eyes, if Elaine talks about whatever, but I can look and feel her eyes and her communication in that way, we can get these kinds of moments where we are still interacting with one another. She doesn't have to know my name. She can only understand me as a person who is friendly and kind. And so, but by the way, it is of the 10 top killers, it's number 6. It's the only one of those 10 top killers that cannot be cured, delayed, or prevented. But they tell me that they think that Elaine actually is getting better, because what happens is she and I have lunch in the cafeteria, and there was a doctor and a nurse sitting next to us, and Elaine began to continuously tell me how intelligent and good-looking I am. And so, well, what happened was the doctor and the nurse heard this, you know, and they says, well, Elaine's got to be getting better. And so they wrote an article for the New England Medical Journal, and lo and behold, the editor sent it back and says, look, we have to show 3 things that she's getting better. Intelligent and good-looking are only 2. Well, so a little bit of time goes by. Now we're sitting at the same table. Interestingly enough, the same doctor and the same nurse are sitting nearby. And now she said, how did we ever meet? And she asked me that many times. I said, well, Elaine, we met when we were freshmen in high school, and I knew right away that you were the person for me. But then also, if any boy got within 50 feet of you, I bopped him on the head. And she looked at me. And so now they have the 3 reasons how Elaine is getting better. And if you look to the New England Medical Journal around October or November, you'll probably see that article.
I want to hear so much more of your story. Do you have more time? Can you stick around and share the rest of your story with us?
Well, it's a compliment that you would say that. Sure, I would love to.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're learning more about caring for the caregiver and author of My Two Elaines, Martin Schreiber. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.